G'day, I'm Erk, and welcome to Erk FM Extra. This is an audio podcast where we talk to bands and we get to the bottom of what makes them tick. I am here in a studio at the moment with Sydney band Domino. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hey, Erk, how you doing?
Yo, yo, yo.
Alrighty, now we have Erica on vocals. Hi, Erica.
Yo, Erk, thanks for coming, man.
Simon on guitar.
Hey, Erk, how are you?
Good, mate. Pete on drums.
Good evening, Erk.
And Dennis on bass. Hi, guys.
Hi, okay, yeah.
Good, mate. So, we're all here. Let's give the studio a plug first. Where are we?
Stage Door Productions, Alexandria. I think we're Maddox Street.
Maddox Street, that's the one.
Always look after us. Awesome.
And we're in, what did you call it earlier, Erica? The Presidential Suite?
Presidential Suite, Studio 5. So big, you need to send, you know, a telegram to your band members across the room.
Nice.
Awesome. So, who wants to tell me the story about how Domino started in the first place?
Oh, I can probably have a go at that. Erica and I were sharing a house some centuries ago, it seems. And I was dicking around with some guitar ideas and what have you, and Erica revealed to me that she was a skilled singer.
Do you remember the reveal, Simon?
I'm probably drunk at the time.
It was very drunk late one night in the courtyard and Slime started playing.
The first thing we played together, I think, was a Tom Waits song from soundtrack to some film.
Dead Man Walking.
Dead Man Walking, yeah. That's it. Yeah, yeah. It's changed a lot since then. We started getting serious about it within weeks, not months or years. Laid down probably 7 or 8 tracks at a studio within 12 months of kicking it off, and recruited 2 other folks to start a band within a year after that.
So what sort of time frame are we talking about the big reveal?
This is about 2004, I think.
Somewhere there.
Yeah, a long time ago now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember it was drunk one night. We had this great party house in Alexandria too. It was actually just across the road from here. And out in the courtyard, and Slime rips out the guitar and starts playing away. And I just started, you know, doing drunken scatting, making stuff up, blah, blah, blah. And then I think the following week, Slime came around, said, "Want to start a band? Want you to be the singer? What do you reckon?" Went, "Okay, cool."
That was it. Stayed a duo for best part of 2 years, I think.
Yeah.
We started doing the circuit of singer-songwriter nights and open mics, testing out material, getting a pretty good response, and then thought, you know, this is missing something. Volume! So, ran some ads, recruited a drummer and a bass player, and did our first full band gig in May of 2005 at Sydney Uni.
So how did you get the name Domino?
I think it's the third name we've had as a group.
Yeah,
isn't
it?
Second, anyway.
Second, at least. We started off with Kismet.
Kismet, yeah, that's right, second name.
But then there was someone else called Kismet, and then we picked Domino.
Yeah, we were actually at a gig at the time, just trying to shout over whoever was playing at the time and throwing ideas at each other, and I can't remember which of us said it, but Domino seemed to stick because it was, you know, white and black, light and shade, yin yang. Not necessarily, you know, the domino effect or, you know, setting things to fall down, but, look, it's stuck and it's stuck since.
So was that when there was only 2 of you still? Or were you at the 4-piece by that stage?
That's a good question, yeah. Mr. Eckman.
Pass.
Somewhere in the grey area. We launched the full band as Domino.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It was sometime.
It must have been beforehand, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. Whether the other 2 guys were there tonight.
Yeah.
Now, Pete and Dennis weren't with you guys at this stage. They came in later, I presume.
Indeed.
Yeah.
We were wandering aimlessly in the wild. And then we found Dennis. Yeah. How long ago, mate?
I joined Domino about 3 years ago now. Would have been 2008. Basically, just was looking for a band to join, and I found the guys on MySpace. And first thing that grabbed me about them was Erica's voice. and I just came from a band with female fronted vocals as well, and it was kind of the direction I wanted to head in. So yeah, like that was the thing that grabbed me. So I got in touch with them and organised to meet them at one of the shows they did at Luna Park. And when I got there and, you know, seen the show, and I was pretty impressed, like hearing them live. And so yeah, we just had a chat basically after that and had a couple of rehearsals, and yeah, I've been here ever since, and it's been a great ride. Like, so far, it's, yeah, we've done, you know, lots of shows together, lots of great shows, and still writing material as we speak, sort of thing, and looking forward to doing some new recording as well with them. And, yeah.
And, of course, Pete, you're part of the reason why I'm here in the first place, because I met you at the Valve Bar with gigs with people such as Foundry Road and Emotus, and then you mentioned to me that you've got a band as well. And it wasn't until Dead Man actually came around to my house with a CD and said, listen to these guys. And so I did. Mm-hmm. And then I came to a show, was blown away. How did you come into Domino?
Okay. Family ties. My sister used to work, not directly with Erica, but in the same department, Uni in New South, Graduate Business School of Management, or wherever it was. Said, Pete, you're not doing anything. Get off your ass. There's people that are drummer. go try out with them. All right. And then Erica got my address and put a CD in my letterbox, which made me a bit nervous, because you don't turn up to an audition if they know where you live. You know.
Yes, I have a history of hunting people down. You'll never know where the body's buried.
Yeah, so I front up and roughly learnt maybe three of the songs off the old EP, and we bashed through them, and I obviously did a good job of hiding the fruitcake that I am, because they offered me the spot on the night. So,
well, look, we we liked Pete straight away because A, he turned up. Drummers are notoriously bad for not showing up for auditions, in our experience. Also, both of his eyes were the same size, which is good. We had some freaks turn up before.
Special people slime, special
auditions. Special freaks. And yeah, look, slotted in straight away. You know, he got what we were doing, got what we were after.
And worked his guts out too.
Yeah.
Rocked up having done his homework. It was just like, oh my God, he's done more work than we have.
Eric and I together have probably auditioned well over a dozen people over the years. And you'd be amazed how many people show up thinking they can just skate through it improvising. And you can't. You just can't. Don't even think about it.
Yep.
So how long have you been a member now, Pete?
I joined in March of last year.
Is that all?
Well, it's nearly coming up to 2 years.
I guess so. It seems like forever, but it's awesome.
Yeah. Sick of
it. It's family now, man. It's family. It's cool.
So I'll go around each of you. How did you get into music in the first place, Simon?
My uncle sat me in a room and played me Iron Maiden LPs for about 8 hours when I was 10 years old. And I was sold, and I would play guitar and inverted commas on a tennis racket every day for, you know, 3 years. Got my first guitar when I was about 14 years old. It cost £40 in Irish money and was worth even less. I'm still playing the guitar my mother bought me for doing well in my end of school exams.
Awesome.
And I just love it. It's great.
So you've always been a guitarist. You've never decided to go anywhere else?
Well, actually, I was only a bassist for about 6 years, backing up soloists and a Polish vocalist for some time.
As you do.
Which, yeah, that was weird, but look, it was a good experience, you know. I mean, it opened me up to other instruments, other ways of playing. It's probably influenced the way I play a lot, because it's a lot of bottom end and not a lot of fiddly stuff. Yeah, bass player. Yeah. Who would have thought?
What about you, Erica?
I was a dancer originally, kind of as a kid, and then even as a teenager as well. And then was busting to sing, always busting to sing. I always hassled my brother to sing for his band. He's like, no, girls have shit voice, bad voices. sorry, I can't help swearing. So, yeah, always wanted to and never did. And then around age 18, I think, the dance troupe I was with at the time, the woman who was running it was choreographing the music theatre show, Chicago. And it's got awesome, awesome 20s, you know, a whole lot of muted trumpets and jazz kind of stuff. Yeah, cool show. So, and they needed dancers for that, so I auditioned for that. Never sung before in my life. Literally, I remember my knees shaking, as in actually wobbling and banging together. I've never been so terrified in my life. but they must have been desperate because they let me in. So anyway, the rest is history, really, in a way. I did years and years of music theatre. So and trained with Tim Patston. So then when I moved to Sydney, I was from Canberra originally, trained with Tim Patston, who was the head of music at NIDA, and he used to be an opera singer. But we're still doing music theatre at that stage. And so Domino is actually the first band that I've ever sung with, and it was like coming home. It was just like shedding all of the expectations and trying to sing like so-and-so and trying to sing properly in inverted commas and all that sort of thing. And, I'm a rock chick at heart, really. So
did you have, when you were going for that first audition, did you have any training before that
as a singer? No, not a sausage, no.
And then since then you have with what you were just
I mean, you learn heaps just from the brilliant thing about music theatre is you learn bucket loads from being around other singers and other musicians. I mean, you're with, you know, a full orchestra, and ended up sort of singing a lot then and getting various lead roles and that sort of thing. So you learn a lot when there's a 20-piece orchestra sort of waiting for you to start singing. But didn't kill the nerves for a long time. Finally blew them out of the water. And I still get nervous, though, like, but nowhere near the same. And then when I moved to Sydney in about 2001, I finally got some, proper tuition.
Yeah.
Worked my guts out, and here we are. And then you throw it all away, as you do with learning anything. You learn for half of it, and then you throw it away and try and
so
relax.
Was it a tough transition from musical theatre to being a rock chick?
Singing-wise, nerves-wise, yeah. Singing-wise, no, because it actually felt natural. It really was like putting away the... I can't think of a non-swear word. Putting away the facade and, just singing however you want to sing. And Slime was open to it. I was like, is that all right? He's like, yeah, sweet. So
have
we just kept going.
Any other musical talent? Have you, like, picked up a guitar?
Have you not seen me play tambourine, Eric? No, as a guitarist...
Oh, you've never seen us play mazooka, have you? So you've missed out on the finger symbols.
The finger symbols.
Yeah, I haven't played that.
No, as a guitarist, I make a great singer.
What about you, Pete?
I spent a large chunk of my childhood doing the AMEB piano course. Got up to fifth grade... And, you know, as many, many boys do, hit the age of about 15 and went, well, not doing this anymore. And,
what's this mysterious growth in my pants?
I'd already worked that out by 15, mate.
Well ahead of me.
Oh, yeah. I learnt piano when I was 8 for, like, 3 years. But, yeah, I don't know. That was it. It's gone.
Yeah.
Not grade 5, that's for sure.
Then, yeah, I came to... Came to Sydney for uni. I'm originally from a small country town. And played drums sort of casually through uni and then, got proper drum kit lessons for a few years off a bloke called Millen Troa and at Billy Hyde's on Commonwealth Street in Surrey Hills. I believe he still teaches. And, so shortly after that was... farting around with a couple of covers bands and then fronted up to the Domino as well.
So for you, how important is a drummer in a band, and more particularly, how important is a drummer for Domino? What do you bring that, because I know there's a few bands, if they try and rationalise themselves, the first person that goes is the drummer. And they, you know, get in the drummer 4000 or whatever.
Okay, so, so what makes me better than a drum machine?
Yeah.
He's got a lovely smile.
I can do backing vocals.
Something of angels?
Yeah. Yes. That's it.
Oh, beep, 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 beep.
He's got a cow locked in his gig bag. Yeah. We hear cowbells and shit.
I'm quite prepared to bring a more sort of rhythmically odd element to Domino.
Yeah.
I don't think the song Hunter would have gotten off the ground if I hadn't have given it a a big push.
Yeah.
What's the timing for Hunter?
7/4 in triplets and 21/8.
Yeah. So it was just called 21 Jump Chunk for a while.
Also, Pete's not afraid, and it's a good thing, not afraid at all to contribute to writing riffs and song structure. He and I together wrote
the absolute bulk of Pirate Man.
The absolute bulk of a song called Pirate Man, which we usually use to end the show, and it's full of very odd meters. I think the ending is in some absurd time signature.
49/16.
49/16. Yeah, it's just crazy, but it's gold. It really is gold.
Because I've noticed, Pete, that the pace of the drummer can help determine what the rest of the band does.
Yeah. I'll find Dennis and I lock in quite nicely, so as a rhythm section we work very effectively and we make Domino chug.
Hell yeah.
In a good way.
Yeah. What about you, Dennis? How did you get started, mate?
I come from a musical family. My dad played in symphony orchestra for about 20 years, and both my brother and sister played various instruments. Like, they're both older than myself, so yeah, they did a bit of piano and violin and cello and stuff like that. I basically started when I was 7, did 6 years of classical piano. Mind you, I hated it at that time, but you know, because like my friends would be playing outside, and because I lived on like a ground level, you know, building, and I could hear him yelling out, you know, like, come out and play soccer with us and things like that. And I was like, no, I had to stay at home and practice piano, which kind of sucked. You know, growing up as a kid, I spent a lot of hours just in my room and playing, you know, because I was basically forced to do it in a way. Like,
yeah,
it was kind of expected of me. I suppose my dad seen the potential in all of us because, you know, we all had the gift of music, and he didn't want that going to waste. So, but look, now I'm glad that I did it, you know, because obviously I wouldn't be here if I sort of hadn't kept that up. And yeah, after about 6 years of piano, I just picked up the guitar, just started fiddling with that for a bit, and yeah, after that I was basically self-taught. I just never had any guitar lessons or anything, but you know, they say piano is the basis to all instruments, so yeah, I just sort of picked up things as I went along, and eventually tried out the bass at high school. I would have been in year 10, and they basically needed a bass player at the school, and there was just no one there because bass players are a very rare breed, as you might well know. And like, yeah, you know, everyone wants to be the cool guitarist or, you know, drummer or singer, but bass player, like, nah, what the hell would you want to do that for? Anyway, so I just thought I'd put my hand up, you know, like, yeah, I thought, why not? Look, I don't mind the bass, like, because before that, I'd joined a couple of bands, you know, during high school, and we never had a bass player. We just didn't know any bass players. So I used to play the bass on the keyboards.
Yep.
And from there, it kind of like took off on me because it just came natural. Like, I felt in a good element, like playing the bass on the keyboard, even though it wasn't a real thing. But I, you know, managed to find my way around, you know. And yeah, so I think I just joined the high school band playing the bass. And the funny thing was, we had a year 11 performance at school, and we're all ready, set to go, and we've done our rehearsals and everything. And I called in a couple of friends to give us a hand, like a drummer I was in at the time in a band with, and he was going to help us out, do a couple of songs. So we all rocked up there and, ready to go sort of thing. But before the gig, we all went out the back of the school and, had a bit of a happy time. Had a few drinks and maybe a couple of joints, yeah. So we rocked up ready to play, and the teachers just looked at me and said, "No, there's no way we're letting you play." I was like, "Why?"
Is that your first night in prison?
sounds familiar, but yeah, I don't know. I can't remember that one. I was pretty drunk for that.
Disclaimer, now, Domino does not endorse any drug use or alcohol.
Exactly, no, don't do that at home, kids, if you're listening.
Yeah, now, do it at school.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's how I missed out. But the good thing was, I was in between sort of playing the keyboard and the bass at the school at the time. So I was just learning pretty much, just picked up the bass. And like I said, they needed a bass player, so I thought, I'll fill in. And at that time, because they didn't let us play, I was really upset, man. Like, and what actually happened was I ended up leaving my keyboard there and my keyboard stand, and I took the school's bass. I just took it with me. I took it home. Like, I thought that's a fair trade for, like, not letting me play. At least I swapped them for it. So that's how I got my first bass.
No way.
Yeah, that's a true story. True story. So they didn't miss it because, like, not long after that I got kicked out of school, so for other reasons, not for that. Not too proud to admit it, but that's how it went. Like,
Dennis continues to entertain us with stories.
I do have stories.
He's doing
nice.
So, that was my first bass. So I just played that for the next couple of years until I bought another one, and I've actually still got that school bass. It's in the garage somewhere. They got a keyboard out of it, so I'm sure they're not too fast. Anyway, they would have bought a new one. I've been in and out of bands after that for years, and just sort of stuck to the bass and found myself in that element, I think. And
So what do you bring to Domino as a bass player?
When I joined Domino first, the band I was in before that, it was kind of more, a little bit more hardcore, I think, a little bit more hard edge driven sort of thing. And I thought, at times I do bring in a bit of that hard edge, as a bass player. And also I do like the fact that, we have a bit of a Middle Eastern feel at times as well. And that's definitely one thing that attracted me to the band. And there's, a couple of songs that I wrote that are sort of along the lines of that mix in between the Middle Eastern and the hard edge rock sort of thing. Which, I think is my element that, that I can bring to the band. Yeah.
So when it comes to songwriting, anyone can answer, how do your songs come about? Vocals first, riffs?
Riffs. Well, it depends now. It's kind of changed since Petey's been on board.
But yeah, look, there's no formula these days. All four of us contribute equally in one way or another. Some of us started with drum beats, like Pirate Man, for instance, that started with Pete. Dennis is really gifted with especially structure, but a lot of riffs. I'm good at coming up with riffs, but not stitching them together. So between the four of us, we can hammer things into shape pretty well. No system.
So I'll ask a standard question now. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. Assume you're asleep and you have a really good idea, whether it be a lyric, a song riff, whatever it might be. What do each of you do, or what have you done in that sort of situation, and has anything come of it?
I jump onto my computer. We use Guitar Pro to record or write a lot of stuff. And punch it straight in just so I don't forget.
And that's worked for you in the past?
Absolutely, yeah. It's especially good because Pete and I especially can email the files to each other and just tick-tack and get something finished really quickly, yeah.
What about you, Erica, 3 o'clock in the morning?
If it's a melody, I'll grab my MP3 recorder and try and sing it in, and then the next day try and remember where the hell it was meant to go and in what song. if it's a lyric, then grab pen and paper, quick smart. There's been many a road trip, actually, where I've had to have pen and paper handy. In fact, I usually do it as a matter of habit now in the passenger seat, but I've nearly crashed the car a couple of times because it's like when it's there, I've learnt now finally to write it down as soon as it comes in your head because it absolutely does not stay. A couple of times gone, yeah, I'll remember that, no problem, and no, it's gone. So just, pen and paper.
Any ideas, Pete?
Yeah, well, if it's 3 o'clock in the morning and I have a rhythmic idea, then
your partner gets the shit.
I kind of really just have to go over it in my head until such time as I can go somewhere where somebody's not going to try and stab me in the eye for making noise. I tend to find, for some unknown reason, most of my musical ideas will hit me while I'm in the shower, which makes trying to sort of do anything with any form of electronic equipment well nigh impossible. So it's basically a...
Why, what's wrong with it? Can't handle that now.
Yeah.
Do you find yourself drumming at traffic lights?
Okay, I drive a manual car, and I've found as long as you don't have to change gears too much, there's no reason you can't do coordination exercises with your spare foot and your spare hand. I do that almost permanently while the car's moving.
You and I are going to have bad accident one day.
you're going to be scrambling. I'm going to be busily doing left-hand coordination exercises, and we'll be travelling in opposite directions, and there'll be a
head-on.
So who do we trust to drive the Domino Tour bus then? You two are out.
Hang on. No, I don't know. Slime doesn't have a licence, and Dennis will be stoned, so I don't know. joking.
It'll probably be a split between Erica and myself.
I think we'd better hire a driver.
No, forget drivers, right? What we need is a bloody roadie.
Yes.
How many years has it been carrying our own stuff?
Many moons.
Oh, I don't want money or chicks or drugs, bloody fame. I just want somebody to carry my crap.
He just wants a lackey. He wants a minion, yeah.
Some strong man.
What about you, Dan?
You can edit that very interestingly, Simon. I just want a strong man.
Yeah, nice walks on the beach.
Yeah, pina coladas.
What about you, Dennis? 3 o'clock in the morning?
3 o'clock in the morning. I usually use my phone. You know, I record stuff on the phone a lot, even when I'm driving too, which seems to be, I don't know why, but a lot of times while you're driving, you just, I just hear things, you know. I think it's, I've got this ability to sort of zone out while I'm driving. I know that sounds bad, but I do. Like, you know, sometimes you just switch on the autopilot. Have you ever had one of those nights where, like, you're sort of 2 blocks away from your house, but you've been driving for the last hour, and you suddenly go, like, where the hell am I? And you go, oh, yeah. And you don't know how you got there, but you just, like, you got there. And that's what I call autopilot. I think, yeah. So that having that ability to zone out and sort of, like, you start hearing things. So I just, switch the phone on and just hum away or whatever, or tap away or, yeah. And, hey, the phone's a handy tool. It is.
It is. Yeah. And the main reason I ask that question is because we've had so many different responses. Some people's response will be basically, don't do anything about it. If I can think about it in the morning, it must have been a good idea. Some people will do similar to what you guys have done, and then others will, you know, basically ignore it and that sort of thing. So that's the main reason I ask that question. Now, when it comes to one of your own songs, what is your favourite song to perform, and what's your favourite Domino song?
Oh, wow. At the moment, I think it's actually our cover song, Toxic City, which is a mix of Britney Spears and System of a Down. just because it's so ridiculous. And we've managed to make part of a Britney Spears song quite good.
Awesome, I think.
It's really fun to play. It's down-tuned, right down to C. It's very heavy. It's awesome.
So while we're on that song, we might as well mention it now. How did the idea come about to combine two acts that are totally different and make it your own? How did that sort of come about?
I think Pete's pointing at Dennis.
Oh, really? Was it?
But well, shouldn't be for some reason because Dennis is shaking his head. But I think...
No, because it was you that went, yeah, it's the same key.
But before that,
Slime did mention about doing those two songs separately, like as covers. Where we got to the stage of combining them two, I'm not exactly sure, but I think we were at the rehearsal studio, and yeah, we sprung up like with the idea that yeah, they sound similar, they're in the same key or whatever, and then we thought, yeah, why not try and do something with them?
We were toying between the ideas of covering songs that we loved, as you always do. You always gravitate towards things that you love and you think that you would play well, and covering things that we thought would just be hilariously funny. So that's where the two came from independently, and then there must have been a lightning strike for someone going, no, we should put them together, and I'm sure we all guffawed at the time.
Yeah, once it was decided that we were going to put the two together, I went home and made a Frankenstein music file out of the MP3s, chopped them up and stitched them together and sent them around. Simon loved what I'd done, wrote it out, and then if there was some fine-tuning of the structure after that, but essentially...
That's the arrangement, though. It was Pete's arrangement, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it hard, Erica, for you to go between the two?
Oh, dear Lord. Oh, my God, Eric. I just cannot even tell you how many hours we spent. Yeah, like it was a good few weeks where we did nothing but that song in the rehearsals. I don't know, maybe it should have been faster. When I think about that, I go, my God, we should have got that faster. Yeah, no, I remember one rehearsal actually falling over on the ground and just going, I can't go on.
I nearly fell over myself.
Yeah, it just
switching
brain.
Between the two completely different angles, you know, even though they are in the same key and what have you. It's,
they're rhythmically. Completely off from each other.
Yeah, which is awkward for everyone, but once you play it over and over and over again, you can make it sound like it's not so difficult to play.
Yeah, I think that's it. We tried to put the domino thread through it eventually, but yeah, the initial scene between Britney Spears and Serge from System of a Down was just off the charts.
Oh, just it felt absolutely retarded.
Yes.
It really did, like something that was not meant to be, but it is.
I think it was like Red Rag to a Bull, though. It was just the challenge, man. None of us could resist. It's like, right, we will make this work. And lo, we did, really. But yeah, it was pretty damn hard, because we're also stitching things together, and the arrangement that Pete's done allows zero time for breathing. So breathing is a luxury in that song. And I think it's also with Britney, I swear to God, she would never have sung that song completely herself, because there's so many layers, and ours is sped up to meet System of a Down, so it's great fun, man. It's awesome.
We'll be right back.
Love it.
We've got more,
yeah, pretty tricky.
More in the works. The, I mean, the idea of mixing two songs together to come up with some new beast is...
infectious.
Is really tickling my fancy. so we got a... I think two I'm working on at the moment. One of them is Eminem and... Who was it?
The Tea Party / Melakish.
The Tea Party. And the other is
by Melakish.
The Melvins and Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, we did try putting in... I cannot think of the name. Kashmir into Arabian Nights from... Arabian Nights is from the EP Shadows and Dust. Yeah, we tried a couple of times. It fits beautifully to get into, but then we just couldn't get out of it. It just didn't... I don't know. You know, sometimes these things are great in theory and you think they're going to work beautifully, yeah. But... And you've got to actually ask yourself is... Are we actually adding anything? I think that's the danger with when you cover the songs that you love, and that, because there's no point if it's just going to be a copy. I think if it's going to be a cover, it's got to actually be a cover, and it's got to be something different, slightly different, or slightly funny, or both, or everything.
Interpretive.
Yeah, exactly. So we sort of tried a few on. I'm busting to do a cover of Summertime, which again came about. We did just in the rehearsal room, so the old Porgy and Bess song. I can't think. For the life of me, who the composer was.
Gershwin.
Thank you, Gershwin. Yeah, and we did this awesome domino, heavy, sludgy rock version of it 100 years ago, but, yeah, never quite got the gist of it again. So, yeah, you never know what'll pop up.
So what's your favourite domino song, Erica?
That is a very hard question, Eric. It changes all the time. I think at the moment it's The Hunter. Yeah, which is funny. It took me a while to come around to that one. It took me a while to get my head around. And now I love it, which is great. And that's one of the things I absolutely love about this band and about the rehearsal room is we just laugh a lot. A lot, a lot, a lot. And it's kind of like all bets are off. We'd give anything a go because you never know what you're going to make out of nothing or something. And that's what I mean. Like, I couldn't get my head around that song. I wasn't really sure if I liked it that much, but happy to see where it went, and I adore it now. Absolutely love it. That or Star Trek. Star Trek's just awesome.
Right.
Scared look on face from Pete.
You're
looking pale. Are you okay?
Probably. I couldn't really pick between Sevda and Pirate Man in terms of fun to play. Simply... Sevda, I mean, because it's in five, it's a nice funny rhythm, but also it's a nice sing-along section in the middle, and yeah, just a nice, Dennis's arrangement's utterly fantastic, and Pirate Man's just pleasantly bent.
Yep.
Pleasantly what bent? Oh yes.
Thank you. you, girls.
What about you, Dennis?
Hard to say again. I think Sevda and Star Trek, I'd probably, between those two, that'd be my favourites, I think. But I used to really love a song that Domino had when I joined him. It's Arabian Nights. Unfortunately, Slime hates it with a passion.
I don't. It's just so
Slime
long.
Wrote the song, just for the record. But anyway.
No, look, it's an awesome song. It really is great. It's, it's just bordering on 11 minutes long and quite difficult. But it's gold. It really is gold.
Yeah. It is a great song. Okay. It's a shame, we don't play it anymore, but...
We will.
Maybe tomorrow we might come back to it at some stage.
Good. You said that on tape.
So that's a good one.
Yeah. Mm.
So how would you compare things like that song? Because you've got the EP out now, but you've got a lot of new material as well that hasn't been recorded yet, except by me.
Well, yeah, that leads us to our next project, really. We're busting to record a lot of the new stuff when we're looking at early next year to begin the process, anyway.
Absolutely. We've got several days booked in January already. A Sharp Studios in Riverwood with the legendary Jeff Cripps. So that'll put down the foundations for our next recording. Plan is to have at least a single out by February or March, and then follow up with an album later in the year.
So for each of you, what's the difference between, for instance, being here in the rehearsal room, being live, and being in a studio recording, whether it be an album or an EP or whatever? What's the difference?
Well, in a studio, or a recording studio especially, I can hear what I'm doing. But the live experience changes venue to venue, night to night. You can never know what you're going to expect. It's all down to just being locked in with each other and almost trying to read each other's minds. That said, the live experience is a lot more exhilarating. Absolutely love playing live, but it is a lot more difficult than playing in a box.
Yeah, ditto, about the same. Playing in the box is lots of fun. Lots and lots and lots of fun. Lots of laughing. And you obviously don't have to worry about putting on a show, so you just enjoy it and lock in with each other. But yeah, nothing beats playing live. Absolutely nothing. That's like a drug for me. That is my drug. I don't know what people who don't play live do. I guess they do drugs. I love it. It's awesome fun. And when you get a good crowd, it's just gold. It's a hoot. But it is also, like Slime said, it's just all down to locking in together. And particularly as the singer, there's that strange thing about actually turning around and having your back to the band, whereas in the rehearsal room, we're all looking at each other the whole time. So there is so much trust. It's just, and I realise that, like you were saying, Dennis, about when you drive home, you forget where you've been. It's like that for me at a gig. It's like, here we go, fellas. No idea what we've just sung, no idea what we've just done. You just go and you just trust that, the team's all locked in together. It's brilliant. And studio is a whole different beast in itself, which is just beautiful. So much more creative. I find it hard sometimes, because you come up with so many new ideas, I then find it hard to lock in. Slime will attest to when I get in the studio.
Yes.
Half my melody lines go out the window. I literally cannot find them because things sound so different. I'm so used to, like you said, not hearing myself in the jam room and that sort of thing. But it's wonderful. It's great. That's where real magic happens, and you get the time to sit and listen properly and come up with extra bits.
Is it repetitive for a vocalist?
Oh, I don't care, man. That's fine. I'm from a dancing background. Like, really, that's what they do. Again. Again, again, not good enough, blah! Again, again, it's like, okay, no, we're doing it over and over and over. Yeah, not at all. Don't care, man, I'll do it all day, every day.
I don't know if it's the piano background for me, but I find being in the rehearsal room, it's practice. It's where you test ideas and you try and make sure that what you're taking on stage is as good as you can make it. And then of course when you get on stage, you might have had a few beers and you've got a bucket load of adrenaline, and you go out and you give them hell, and if it works, it works. I can say I'm probably the, I can say I am the only member of the band who's not actually set foot in a recording studio for the purpose of recording anything.
Are you looking forward to that?
Absolutely. It'll be a whole new adventure for me.
Cool.
Sweet.
Yeah, I think that, you know, they've all got their elements, I suppose. Rehearsal rooms, are, you know, it's quite fun, you know, it's having fun and relax. It's a relaxed atmosphere, I suppose. You can let go and talk about anything, and you're in a soundproof box, and no one else can hear you scream, so it's great. gigs are just a bomb, you know, like, that's where it's at, I think. You can, yeah, really let yourself loose, and that really is my element. You know, doing live shows, it's great, because you've got that energy, that connection with everyone, and also you feed off the crowd as well, and all those things combined, just, yeah, that, to me, that's where it's at, really, yeah. And as far as recording, look, it can be, you know, a bit nerve-wrecking, a bit tedious and whatnot, and they're usually long days and, you know, setting up and everything else and all that, but it is fun. Like, I love doing it. Challenge is a lot of times to try and get the right sound. I found often that whenever I've recorded, a lot of the engineers struggle with bass in particular, man. Like, everyone's said to me, bass is just the hardest instrument to mic up and make sound like it should sound. Don't know exactly why. Obviously, if the guys who are in the job find it hard to do, I think, like, well, I'm just guessing it must be hard then. So, but... Yeah, look, it is challenging, but it is fun too, you know. Like, if you pull something off and you hear the ending result and it sounds great, then all your hard work and, you know, in the studio and the gigs and all that sort of... Well, that's pretty much your proof and your evidence that, you know, this is what I've been doing and this is how it sounds, and it's kind of the final result, really, yeah.
Speaking of final results, you've got the EP for the very first time in your hand, Simon and Erica. What did it feel like the first time that you could actually give it to someone, sell it to someone? You've done all this hard work to record it. What's it like?
Yeah, that was pretty sweet. I mean, we did, the hard work of recording it. Came out with the scratch to make it. We did the artwork ourselves, you know, everything. It was really just a Domino product. Yeah, look, it was really a source of pride for us, I think, to be able to have this thing and offer it to people for a, you know, very reasonable price.
Available on iTunes.
Yes. Look, especially when we got distribution as well, that was a really good thing. And other incredibly insightful words.
It was brilliant. I agree completely. It was awesome. There's nothing like it, I think, when you kind of... Yeah, exactly. You can do all the writing and you get used to that stuff, but it's that, you know, which so many people out there would feel the same when you're in a band. It's like a small business. Everyone's got to do everything. You're the marketing guy. You're the PR guy. You're the manager. You're the booking agent, blah, blah, blah. The works. So to kind of push and push and push out all the boring stuff, essentially, and have it all pay off. Because, I mean, you look at a CD, and particularly nowadays, you think... Oh, it's so easy to make a CD, but still, to actually get distribution, to have your songs registered with the international, blah, 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 the works is, it's a lot of work and plan a launch and all that sort of stuff. So it's a huge sense of pride, like Slime said, enormous. I remember when we first recorded just Simon and I acoustically, our first, like, six songs or whatever it was, and I think I got us cigars and tequila.
Yes.
To celebrate that night.
Yeah, that was awesome.
It was a pretty damn awesome feeling. Because Slime doesn't drink red wine. I was going to get a nice bottle of red wine, but I think we had tequila instead.
Tequila I will drink.
Yeah, and cigars. Great feeling. And, can't wait for it again. But, yeah, a lot of work, but it's so worth it. Best job in the world, man.
Do you have, any of you have any superstitions or things that you have to do on stage or you just don't feel right?
Yeah, my equipment has to break down.
Yeah, it's just not a Domino gig.
If it doesn't break down, there's something wrong.
Slime usually has to borrow a pick from another band.
Yeah. I need to borrow a plectrum.
I'm actually getting worried that if I don't wear my magic docks with the wings on the side, that something may go wrong.
Yeah.
Because the couple of times that I've worn different shoes, it's just been a bit lame and I've felt a bit awkward and like I was in someone else's skin. So I'm a bit concerned that I've kind of glued myself into these boots and it might not work without them.
Nice.
We'll see. I won't be testing that out.
So how are they looking? They're not looking too bad.
No, they're awesome.
They're okay.
They make me go fast.
You got a bit of life in them still.
Totally.
Anything, Pete? Apart from booze.
Yeah, don't get too drunk. just
know your limit.
Yes, know how much you can drink before you're going to start sucking. no actual superstitions as such.
Dennis, anything?
Myself? Yeah, no particular thing, I think. Just trying to think, yeah. It's just one thing, like recently, because we've got this new song now, like, and we've got to tune it down to see. I'd like to label on the set list that, you know, I've got to tune down and just to remind myself to tune back up after the song, which is, you know, I did that a couple of times in the past in other bands, like, you know, you forget to tune up or down, like, it does happen in the heat of the moment. I think, you know, you're doing a gig and you know, the nerves are up and everything else, it's all going 100 miles an hour. And the last thing on your mind is like, yeah, you got to tune up or down. But that's a small thing, but it's good, like, to have something like that to remind you to stay on your toes, you know.
Yeah. I mean, that's my second wish after a roadie is a guitar tech.
Yeah.
You know, the guy who comes out and hands you the guitar that's already tuned for that particular song. Exactly. You don't have to worry about it. Oh, my kingdom for a guitar tech.
Do you know anyone?
2012.
So that's superstitions out of the way. Now, if you have a gig like you have tomorrow night as we record this, you guys are on last and on pretty late at 11:15. Is it harder or easier the later you are on a night? You know, you might have four or five bands that in a typical gig. Is it harder to be like the last band, or is it easier just to get it done and out of the way and just relax?
It's harder. It's harder if for no other reason than, like, say tomorrow night. There's a load in times. 6:30. 6:30. Doors open at about 8, so it's in between those times. And okay, we're on last. So you've got 3 hours of sitting in the venue watching bands and.
And there's a bar.
Yeah, that's really. My only real dislike about being the last band in that regard, I'm quite happy to be an opening band. Like the first time you would have, oh no, you were still in Europe when we did the gig with Amotus, Foundry Road, and Lab 64.
Michael's birthday.
Yeah. Yeah, we were sort of the fourth from the top of the bill.
Yeah, that
night,
ideal.
And that was perfect because you turn up half an hour before you play, you set up, you get it done, you put your stuff away, and then that's fine. You get to watch three great bands and have a few beers.
Nice.
Whereas if you're watching three great bands and having a few beers, then by the time you turn up to play yourself, well, it then becomes a really variable quality as to what performance is going to be like.
Nicely put.
For me, it's obviously easier to play earlier than later, mate, because I've got kids at home, and you usually get a babysitter, and it's the later you play, you're thinking, like, you know, it's going to cost me a fortune when I get back home. Yeah, the clock's ticking over. So, but you know, not just that, you know, you obviously, like, you get tired, you know, as the night goes on, and yeah, you got a few more drinks in your belly as well, and it is a challenge. But mind you, one night I was stuck in the lift for about 2 hours.
Oh, really?
We were supposed to play, yeah, and we ended up playing like 2 hours later, so well, there's another story of mine. But no, that actually went well, surprisingly. That went really well.
You should make Dennis a weekly installment,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, the Dennis Files.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stories from Dennis, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's a real tipping point, I think. Like, you get kind of excited and you have, you know, maybe one or two drinks, that sort of thing, but then it leads up. Never want to be first, man, as far as I'm concerned. I'd rather not be first. But then there's a tipping point. So if it's too late in the night, you've gone past, the nerves have actually fizzled and, like, the guys have had a couple of drinks. So, yeah, but it changes gig to gig. Yep. And you also want the optimum number of people there too, so you don't want to be too late if no one's going to turn up.
Because that can be difficult as well, because you could have people just there to see the band that they're there to see and then disappear for you guys in the example for tomorrow night.
Yeah, it could easily happen. Yeah, you take that risk, and that's why, you know, that's why you've got to actually kind of, you know, like the people you're playing with and like the music you're playing, so you just do it for the fun, number one.
We're basically hoping those that stick around will cop a good show.
Well, one of Domino's great skills is quick changeover.
Yeah.
I think we've cleared off stage inside of 60 seconds flat.
Yeah, in fact, I think we did the other night at Lewisham.
Yeah, that's right.
Because we'd run overtime and AJ was getting cross with us.
Yeah. So if there's a band, they've got a decent audience, we get on there, set up really, really fast. We hope that, you know, their crowd will stick around and enjoy what they hear and, you know, stay till the end. We can't make them stay, but we do what we can, you know.
We've tried and we got arrested, so, yeah.
Yeah.
When it comes down to giving people advice, this is a good section for you to give some advice to people. If you today, with your current knowledge, could go back in time somehow to your former self, would you give yourself any advice?
Don't give up martial arts.
Really?
Yeah, I quit martial arts as a teenager. By now, I could kill you all without hardly moving.
Then you'd have no band.
Just an example. I could protect you all without moving. Is that enough?
Yeah. So don't give up martial arts.
Yeah, stick in it. If you're in it, do it. It's not just fitness, it's being an instrument of death.
It's all the way over there.
On that plane, yeah, probably shouldn't have given up piano, actually. But, no, what I would say is build your confidence. Don't waste time lacking confidence. It is such a waste of time. Pointless. Do what you want to do. Full stop.
Yeah, I just wish I'd joined a bunch of bands earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's pretty simple for me, I think. Less drugs, more music. You know, like,
we're gonna get that on a t-shirt.
I know the two
that's
sort
gonna be
of
on the
go
back of the next Domino t-shirt. <Let's charge>
Yeah, exactly. Well, the two go hand in hand, but yeah, just got to balance them out, I think, a bit more. Yeah. Well, now I do a lot more of the other, so I'm not gonna say which one that is. I'm trying to concentrate more on my music right now, so yeah.
Say 2012, single coming out, hopefully album coming out, gigs
coming out the wazoo, hopefully.
Totally.
Don't know it's if I should release
the
this.
Dead Man Barbecue at the Valve in March is already mostly organised by Scott, I believe.
Dead Fest.
Yeah. And there's a tentative booking for February, which is sort of probably pointless for the purpose of this interview.
December 2012, we'll have the 12 cover versions of Domino. We'll have one a month, one per gig for the next year, and we'll have a Christmas gig where we will do all 12 covers we've done in the last year. It's going to be awesome.
This is the first we're hearing of this.
Yeah, this is the...
Yeah, no, big year, man.
Congratulations, folks. You, like us, have been introduced to the new regime.
It has been said. It is happening.
It's on here.
Yeah, it's on Earth Podcast.
Etched in stone.
Yeah. I'll be waiting in December next year.
You'll be telling you, there,
you
said.
You said December last year at 55 minutes.
All right.
Any highlights for this year? What would, if you had to nominate a highlight, it's the end of 2011?
No, it was pretty lame.
For me, it would have been the August 13th gig at the Valve. Simply because we were sandwiched nicely in amongst a great lineup. So there was a whole bunch of people there. In that one evening, we got a lot more positive response than we had in probably all the previous gigs that I'd played at any rate combined.
We played with the Marvis that night?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And I mean, from that gig is where we got the Dead Man relationship, and also, which of course has then led to you and to a couple other people.
And I wasn't even here.
Exactly.
No.
Nice one.
Any highlights, Dennis, for the year?
For me, I think start of the year was pretty good. I got my license back, and then not long after that, I had my bass stolen, which is not a highlight, but the highlight is that I actually got a new one. So that was great. Yeah, I think
back to normal now.
Yeah, back to normal.
Oh,
yeah.
And final question, considering that we're coming up to Christmas and in a couple of days is Very Metal Christmas, if Santa could put one thing underneath your tree, what would it be when it comes to music?
A new octave pedal for my guitar. Need it. Want it. Want
and
it now.
Leads.
Yeah, a whole bunch of picks. Like 1,000 picks. And some machine in every audience of every gig I play in that just fires picks at me because I keep dropping them. Some kind of shit like that. That'll be great.
$20,000 to record CD.
Wow.
More drums.
More drums.
Yeah, you can never have too many drums.
What about a gong or something?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, more percussion. Even if it's like a drum pad, one of the electronic ones where you can just put practically any sound you want into it.
Mm.
That's probably on the cards at some point.
Do
you have electric drums at home or anything?
No. Intending to invest in a set at some point if I can work out where the heck I'm going to put them.
So is there any practice that you do here? Do you practice at home or just when you come here?
Unfortunately, I don't have that much scope for practice at home anymore. With a little one that occupies a chunk of my time. Most of the practice that I do get done, any time I hit the drums, is here in the rehearsal room and when we're on stage.
So what's Santa bringing you, Dennis?
For me, probably ask for wheels for my bass cab, man. It's getting a bit heavy to carry.
Oh, damn, man.
Yeah, I think I need wheels just to push this thing around, you know. I'm sick of bloody carrying it. And, like, the funny thing is, every time we do a gig, I'm thinking, yeah, this week I'm buying wheels for this thing. But then I just forget, man. And, I don't know. Hopefully Santa brings it.
To rest of the band. Present for Dennis.
Yes.
I'll buy you a skateboard if you buy me a skateboard.
We can link the skateboards together.
Sweet.
Awesome. So, guys, it's been a lot of fun. Good luck with everything and see you at a gig.
Thanks heaps, sir.
Thanks.
There, dude.
We'll see you tomorrow.
No worries.